This is Scott, and you are listening to Fine Tune You with Helen, your home for holistically balanced living. Find us at www.finetuneyou.com and enjoy helpful, inspiring, and amusing information. Besides practicing holistic self-development disciplines for over 40 years, additional formal studies have deepened her knowledge and qualifications. Helen is an intuitive counselor, transformational coach, and guided imagery expert. As a graduate of the American Institute of Holistic Theology, Helen has her master's degree in metaphysics and is working toward her doctorate in metaphysics and holistic ministries.
Welcome, everyone, and I'd like to welcome our new listeners. I'm so glad you've joined us this week. This is our third week discussing how to live holistically in a messy life. Because we're still establishing our core audience, I'd like to go over once again very briefly who might be interested in our program. If you meditate 2 or 3 hours a day and you don't have chaos in your life, this discussion might not interest you. But if your life is either a little messy or a whole lot messy, this discussion probably will offer some tips on how you can ease or clean up some of those messy areas. Remember, living holistically in a messy life is not meant to be an easy, feel-good, light discussion. It's a program meant to encourage you to dig into your messy corners, to recognize an area or two blocking your becoming holistically whole, and as you address those messy areas, shift to an understanding of why the mess is there in the first place, then make the necessary changes to clean out those spots. Over time, you will feel an unexplainable wholeness filling your being. So grab your paper and pencil and let's begin. Please feel free to call me at 1-888-815-9756 anytime during our program. I really would love to hear from you. Last week, we discussed discovering our holistic mind in a messy life. We discussed different types of meditation and its value, and other options that we could use to calm and quiet our mind when it's in turmoil. Please, please remember, if we want to live holistically through our lives, even though they're a mess, we have to tap into our personal courage and look with honesty into our dark corners. That's where our hidden garbage lives, and that's where our hidden garbage will stay until we pull it into the light, examine why we've kept it, and make a decision that we no longer have to carry it around. The choice is ours. This week, we're discussing caring for our body while existing in our messy lives. I want to remind everyone, holistic balancing never conflicts with your religion or your faith. You pick, you choose. After listening to me, or if you happen to study from some other source, you choose exactly what you want to change about your life. You have to have that sense that this is the path you need to walk. I can't emphasize enough, this is your choice. Let yourself quiet. Listen to your body. Listen to your spirit. When you listen, really, really listen, the changes you choose to make will work. Holistic balancing, it just enhances your life. When we choose to apply holistic practices, we keep our bodies operating at our personal best. And our capacity for positive energy, oh my goodness, it blossoms. It pops right out when you least expect it. You never know which nook or cranny that positive energy will pop out of, possibly surprising you and maybe even the people around you. Positive energy produces positive characteristics. We are designed to walk in our holistic nature. So here we go. Let's start holistically balancing our body while still existing in our messy lives. I'd like to start with our organ systems and see what we can shift so they function at our optimum level. Now, we shouldn't expect that the body of a 20-year-old and the body of a 60-year-old are going to function the same. But if you've always taken excellent care of your body, if you've always taken excellent care of your mind, and if you've always taken excellent care of your spirit, you can be sure you're going to be healthier and functioning better than the person who hasn't. But if you haven't, don't you dare get discouraged. If you fall into the, I really messed up my life, why should I bother to start now category, jump out of it. Don't worry. It's amazing how wonderfully resilient our bodies are. And if we make just itsy-bitsy tiny changes, our bodies respond with appreciation. But we also need to remember the oh-so-truthful words of Marilyn Ferguson in her 1980 book, The Aquarian Conspiracy. Over the years, your bodies become walking autobiographies, telling friends and strangers alike of the minor and major stresses of your lives. So today we will look at basic solutions and practices. But again, anything you can grab hold of and say, I can do that, will be a huge turn toward holistic balancing. It is so amazing when you make just one small change, but it's real. Other changes happen easier and quicker. Okay, since we're discussing our body, let's begin at our head and work our way down. Our brain. In order to keep it as healthy as possible, it helps if we understand some of the basics of how it works. Our left brain, you know, our brain is divided into four sections, but the part we're going to talk about today is our left hemisphere and our right hemisphere. So our left brain, that is where we have our logic, our words, parts, and specifics, analysis, you know, where we break things apart, sequential thinking. Our left brain relates to everything to do with time. It has a sense of not only time, but goals and our position in relation to those goals. And our left brain controls the right side of our body. Now, if we look at our right brain, it manages our emotions, sees pictures and holes, and our relationship in regard to the involved parts. Our right brain allows us to use synthesis. That means putting together simultaneously. And guess what? Our right brain is naturally into holistic thinking. Our right brain doesn't worry about time. In fact, if we get into a right-brained activity, we might lose sense of time altogether. And then, just like our left side of our brain controls the right side of our body, the right side of our brain controls the left side of our body. You know, there are some specific left-brain tasks that our ability use. That's to be logical, to see things sequentially, to be analytical, to be objective. And when we're into our left brain focus, we can handle details and numbers beautifully. Some specific right brain tasks that use our ability is to see things unsystematically. In other words, kind of the whole picture. We don't see it linearly. When we're in our right brain thinking, we're intuitive. We can see the colors in things. We understand the rhythm of life. We see the big picture, and those pictures are free-flowing. So as we look at our left brain and right brain, let's think about some ways we can keep both sides functioning at maximum capacity so we function at maximum capacity. There are a few activities we could incorporate into our daily schedule to keep our right and left brains balanced and functioning as well as they can. So as we look at what we can incorporate into our lives to have these two hemispheres work together, let's look at those hemispheres one more time. Our left hemisphere works to process in a sequential manner. This is our analytical side. It looks at the individual parts rather than the complex parts, and it is responsible for our speech. The right side is more subjective. This is where we are biased or prejudiced or sometimes very one-minded. Yet, we can see things that may not be so obvious. We're more intuitive, we're more focused on the whole picture rather than the parts of the patterns. Most of us use one side of our brain more than the other, so it's good to exercise the less dominant side of our brain to keep it active. And did you know that even though you may be old, you can still stimulate growth in each side of your brain by engaging in left and right brain exercises? So let's take a peek at what we can do to keep the left side of our brain healthy. Word exercises. They are really good for the left brain, since the left side of our brain controls our analytical process. So games like word puzzles and brain teasers are perfect to keep it active. When we engage in word games, we tap into our logic and reasoning. We need those to complete those tasks. Therefore, we stimulate our left brain. Some of the word exercises we should consider would include crossword puzzles with themes, word searches, or spelling games, where we have to pick the correctly spelled version of the word. Then we could do math exercises. Math equations and games are such good exercises for the left side of our brain. Sudoku is available online and in most stores. Math games online or math workbooks that students use in school are excellent for left brain exercise. Solving those math equations provides a feeling of accomplishment and a left brain workout. Those interactive games that you play online for math with math can help you gain skill and speed for healthy brain functions. Another thing that really, really helps your left brain, writing. It really boosts that left brain activity because it requires our using words in sentences, using sentence structure, and spelling the words we write, all left brain activities. A way to carry out consistent, effective writing exercises is to write daily in a journal or blog a part of your life. This gives you a definite task to keep the left side of your brain engaged on a regular basis. You could visit other people's blogs each day and leave comments, but make sure you use full sentences with structure. We could write articles or editorials for newspapers or magazines or even a website. Or you could write us your thoughts. We would love to know what you're thinking. You can join a social network such as Facebook, Twitter, or MySpace and comment daily. Those comments daily make you construct tightly woven sentences and paragraphs to get your thoughts out there, unless you use the short sentences that, you know, those aren't going to help your left brain. Those are just going to get words out there. Regular reading. Now, I know it's fun to read fiction, and I love to read fiction. Other information that feels creative to the right side of our brain is fun too, but it's so important to spend some time each day reading something more analytical or factual. The newspaper, how-to articles, anything informational is really good, but don't just skim it when you're reading. Find something more analytical or factual. Read the articles or books methodically. Think about each aspect of what you're reading and see if you can apply it. Learn something new. This is really a left brain activity. I'm talking about we should learn a new skill that requires us to use that analytical side. This could include building complex models, learning a new language, or adding a more advanced skill to one you already have. Okay, now we have the left side of our brain functioning. Let's see what exercises can help keep the right side of our brain functioning. When we exercise the right hemisphere of our brain, we stimulate the part of our brain that is responsible for holistic thinking. Rather than linear exercises such as reading a book line after line, right brain exercises involve creative activities like drama and music. When right brain exercises are used in conjunction with academic learning and also corporate training, they found that the students remember more of what they were taught. Drama. When we learn while including drama, we stimulate the right hemisphere of our brain. Say we want to learn about the American Revolution. Well, reenact the battles and other Revolutionary War events. Our participating in these reenactments guarantees learning. While rote memorization has its place, it is linear, left brain activity. When we participate in dramatic exercises in relationship to learning, chances are we're going to remember what we acted. Okay, we have the drama. Now let's look at music. Music is one of the best tools there is to guarantee learning. Baroque music has an invigorating result on our brain's right side. Stop and think. There are tons of anecdotal evidence. Most people can confirm the power of music and their memories. So many memories are triggered by music. We hear a song on the radio from our distant past, and I'm talking about even your childhood, and we're carried right back to that instant time. The smells, the weather, the circumstances. We all remember moments accompanied by music. That is so much a fact that many teachers and trainers use music as a background for learning. One example I heard about is a teacher who played Mozart in the background as she taught a lesson. When she tested her students, she played the same music, and her students tested higher than they had been testing. She did this repeatedly with the same results. So when you really need to learn something, consider setting it to music, or at the very least listening to some soft Mozart while studying. The results could be astonishing. I know for us, with our son Josh, who I have mentioned before, you know, he has a significant disability. He learned through music. We were told that he wouldn't talk, he wouldn't read, he wouldn't be able to do math. Pretty much a vegetable, is what they had said. Well, I sang to him all the time. And when I wasn't singing, we were listening to music. I made up songs about subjects he needed to learn. And pretty soon, before you know it, Josh was not only talking, he was reading, and he became a whiz at math. And he still talks and reads and is still a whiz at math. Music unlocks so many limits to our brain's abilities. One of the most exciting aspects of right brain exercises is they allow us to step into a dynamic world, a world of activity, color, music, and fun. When we have fun, we remember. When we have fun learning, we remember what we learned. The next time you need to recall information, be creative. Make it fun. Now let's look at some everyday common habits that we could acquire or refresh or improve on to keep our brains healthy. Be a lifelong learner. Just because you graduated from school doesn't mean it's time to stop learning. Always learn new things and try new ways to learn. There are ways to exercise many areas of our brain. Every single time we learn something new, we trigger new neural pathways that form and reinforce our brain function. Yes, we may be losing brain cells as we age, but those cells that are still there will make paths. It will improve functions like our memory and information routes. Now, not only be a lifelong learner, but make sure you use and apply that knowledge. By using the information or skills that we learn, we exercise and reinforce those neural pathways in our brain. Our brain becomes more efficient and we're less likely to forget what we've learned. Okay, now we know we need to learn and share what we've learned. But if we don't eat healthy, our brain isn't going to function as well as it could as if we did eat healthy. So as a general rule, anything brightly colored is brain food. Think of the rainbow. Eat as many of those rainbow colors as you can each day. Now let's see. How many of you remember the colors of the rainbow and the acronym we learned to remember it? If you do, give us a call at 1-888-815-9756. Now let's take a short commercial break.
to achieve your deepest dreams, enhance your healing, or offer your best to the world? Then visit us at www.findtuningyou.com, where we've been since 1998. As you search our website, you will find encouragement, inspiration, and amusing information. If you are ready for intuitive counseling, transformational coaching, or a personalized interactive guided imagery recording, send an email to helen@findtuningyou.com or call her at 877-469-5505, extension 1.
Welcome back. We'll continue with some more everyday common habits we can acquire to keep our brains healthy. Most of us need to move more. Regular physical activity improves our cognitive functions by strengthening or even creating neural pathways throughout our body, and the bonus, the moving also decreases our stress levels, which also helps our brain. You need to recognize that when we move, we actually are flushing those toxins out of our body, and that helps our brain function better. Now, sleep. We all know we need sleep. Sleep soundly. The evidence keeps accumulating that shows that we have better memory function and our memories are retained longer if we've had a good night's sleep. Scientists tend to believe that this is because short-term memories transfer to long-term memories during our REM sleep periods. You know, that time when we dream. Maybe if you aren't dreaming, you aren't sleeping enough. And then laughter. Those who listen to our show know I encourage laughter. 30 minutes a day. Every single day. Having fun and laughing reduces stress levels. Reduce stress levels, release endorphins, and it makes us feel better. If you can't find something to laugh about, fake laugh. It still works amazingly enough. They've done studies to prove it. But the fun part is, before you know it, you'll be laughing in spite of yourself. So if you happen to be in a long-term, stress-filled situation, laughter is really critical for you. Because if you're under that constant stress, you're more likely to experience a decrease in mental functioning. Please laugh, fake or real. It will help your stress levels. Active thinking is a great way to stay holistically balanced. Okay, what is active thinking, you ask? I'm thinking. Active thinking is actually caring passionately about and being involved with a cause. Active thinking involves shifting how you look at a problem in order to deal with it. Passion is what fuels our learning, our creativity, and our life. When our mind is open, it's like a rich, freshly plowed field ready to receive seeds. And when we allow our imaginative thinking, our imagination, to blossom, it's our questioning that becomes light. Having wide-ranging, extensive knowledge is like the worm on a fishing hook. The more we know, the more we can learn. Now, let's move down our body to our circulatory system. That will include our cardiovascular system, which includes our heart, blood, and lymphatic system. And in our lymphatic system, we have our lymph nodes, our vessels, our thymus, and spleen. Okay, let's look at our heart first. How do we keep our heart as healthy as possible? One of the best ways to keep our heart healthy is to prevent heart problems in the first place. So how do we do that? Probably one of the most obvious answers to prevent heart problems is don't smoke or use any other tobacco products. At this point in time, I don't know anybody who hasn't heard smoking isn't good for you. Smoking and using other tobacco products are one of the most major risk factors for developing heart disease. When it comes to our heart, no amount of smoking is safe. Smokeless tobacco, low tar tobacco, and low nicotine cigarettes have all been proven risky. And please don't forget the danger of exposure to secondhand smoke, especially when it comes to our children. Did you know that tobacco smoke contains more than 4,800 chemicals? And many of those 4,800 chemicals are damaging to our heart and blood vessels. When we think about cigarettes, we also need to think about the nicotine and carbon monoxide produced by those cigarettes. Because besides the smoke we all experience when around anyone who is smoking, we need to pay attention to the nicotine in cigarette smoke. Nicotine makes our hearts work harder. Nicotine narrows our blood vessels and increases our heart rate and blood pressure. And then there's the carbon monoxide in cigarette smoke. Carbon monoxide, that colorless, odorless, and tasteless gas that is highly toxic to humans and animals. It's in all cigarettes, every single one of them. Carbon monoxide replaces some of the oxygen in our blood. This increases our blood pressure. You know why? Because carbon monoxide depletes our oxygen levels, forcing our heart to work harder. Carbon monoxide causes our heart to struggle. Our heart is struggling to replace that carbon monoxide with enough oxygen so we can breathe properly. Even so-called social smoking, you know, only smoking while you're at the bar or restaurant with friends, is dangerous and increases your risk of heart disease. And then, as if we couldn't make matters worse, if you happen to be a woman who smokes and takes birth control pills, you're at higher risk of having a heart attack or stroke. And guess what? To top it off, your risk increases as you age. And if you're over 35, uh-oh. But there is good news. If you're able to quit smoking, your risk of heart disease drops in just a year, and by considerable amounts, too. And the other good news is that no matter how long or how much you smoked, your body starts to recover almost as soon as you quit. Okay, I think you probably have the point about smoking. Let's move on to another one of our heart problems, exercise or an active lifestyle. I think we also know this one, too. It's been shown that regular, moderately intense physical exercise or activity reduces our risk of fatal heart disease. The benefits of exercise or an active lifestyle, they strengthen our heart and cardiovascular system. You know, those arteries and blood vessels running all around our bodies. And as we strengthen our arteries and blood vessels, our circulation improves and our body absorbs oxygen easier and better. And because our body's absorbing oxygen easier and better, our blood pressure goes down. As we exercise, we increase our energy levels so we can do more activities without becoming tired or short of breath. We increase our endurance. We lower our blood pressure. We improve our muscle tone and strength. We improve our balance and the flexibility of our joints. Exercise strengthens our bones, reduces body fat, helps us achieve a healthy weight. Exercise reduces stress and tension, anxiety, and depression. Exercise boosts our self-image and self-esteem. Exercise improves our sleep. It makes us feel more relaxed and rested. Exercise makes us look fit and feel healthy. Wow! With a list like that, what are we doing sitting here? We should be exercising. I should have ended the show with that, but I'm going to count on each one of you to be so inspired by this marvelous list that as soon as the show is over, you're going to get out and start some exercise. That is unless you have health issues. If you do, please talk to your doctor before you start any exercise program. If you have some health issues, what should you be considering about before you exercise? If you're on medications, they really can affect your response to exercise. Your doctor can tell you if normal exercise is still safe. Lifting. Make sure that lifting or pushing heavy objects and chores such as raking, shoveling, mowing, or scrubbing aren't off limits. Chores around the house can be tiring for some people. Make sure you only do what you are able to do without getting tired. Check to see which exercises your doctor considers safe. Get your doctor's approval before you lift weights, use weight machines, jog, or swim. Okay, you've been cleared by your doctor to exercise. Yay! Now, if you combine your exercise and physical activities with other healthy choices like not smoking and maintaining healthy weight, the benefit to your heart is even greater. We all know activity and exercise help control our weight and reduce our odds of developing other problems that strain our heart. Those problems like high blood pressure, high cholesterol, and diabetes. And as we've discussed before, prolonged physical activity reduces stress. Stress is such a strain on our heart, on our bodies, and that stress could be another reason we do develop heart disease. So unless you're a woman close to menopause, in menopause, or post-menopause, 30 to 60 minutes of moderately intense physical exercise or activity most days of the week is considered good. But, and I am not fond of this, but the latest studies have shown that for women close to menopause, in menopause, or post-menopausal, which I'm one, we need to hit that 60-minute mark for exercise 7 days a week to maintain healthy weight, which helps us maintain healthy heart. But again, shorter amounts of activity or exercise do provide health benefits. So even if you don't achieve that 60 minutes, if you're a woman who's either premenopausal, menopausal, or postmenopausal, or the rest of you out there that can get by with 30 minutes a day, even if you don't achieve those 30 to 60 minutes most days, don't give up. If you work out in 10-minute increments several times a day, you still benefit. And you know there's so many ways to acquire those activity minutes. Things like gardening, cleaning house, walk the dog, climb stairs. They all count toward your daily minutes. And don't forget to include fun things like dancing. And if you have a Wii, I know a lot of kids have them, but a lot of older people, they really are a wonderful way to exercise. The Wii has a program called Wii Fitness Plus, and it counts the time you spend on it, gives you an approximate amount of calorie burn, and it's fun. It isn't necessary for activity or exercise to be strenuous to achieve benefits. But as you get into the rhythm of exercise, you may find yourself increasing your intensity, duration, and frequency. And if you do, you're just going to see greater benefits. Another really good thing for our hearts and body is stretching. Before we exercise, we should stretch. After we exercise, we should stretch. It's one of the best ways there is to elongate, lengthen our muscles, because it's slow and gentle. By stretching our arms and legs before and after exercise, it lengthens our muscles and helps prepare them for the activity. When we stretch, we're less likely to injure ourselves or strain our muscles. But just stretching for the sake of stretching increases our range of motion and our flexibility. Stretching keeps us moving with greater fluidity because we have elongated our muscles and made them more flexible. The bonus? We don't have trouble moving around because we aren't all stiff and knotted up. But again, and this is a big but, if you happen to have heart failure, many strengthening exercises are not recommended. Again, please check with your doctor before you do them. Our body is such a delightful, multifaceted, interdependent system of energies and intricate organisms. Our body is made up of zillions of cells that support our life. We all know that these cells, in other words, our body, require food for nourishment. To feed all those zillion precious smallest living organisms in the healthiest manner possible, we need to eat nutrient-rich, life-giving foods. In other words, foods that are not dense, like cookies and cake. These foods should also be high in water content. These are the types of food that are absorbed easiest by all 11 systems of our organs. So what are light density foods high in water content. Let's think about the food we see at the store. What would have light density and lots of water? Yes, you guessed it. Fresh, raw fruits and vegetables. They're high in fiber, high in water, light, and the energy they supply are essential to a healthy diet. And the bonus? Fresh, raw fruits and vegetables improve our chances for having the best physical health possible. Part of how healthy we are physically directly relates to how healthy were our genes. But after that, how healthy we are directly relates to the characteristics of who we are, mentally, physically, and spiritually. Did you know that, especially when you're emotionally stressed, you need to eat meals high in water and fiber? Now, I don't know about you, but when I'm under stress, we happen to usually be at the hospital, where foods with lots of water and fiber are in short supply. Besides, most people I know, when they're under stress, reach for their favorite flavor of ice cream. But it isn't what's best for us. Foods with lots of water and high fiber. In other words, a salad, possibly with low-fat dressing. These foods, the ones high in water and fiber, reduce acidity. You know, when you get your upset stomach, it gets acidy. So foods of light density and high in water, they reduce that acidity. And they also help eliminate the toxins in our body. And we all have toxins. We build up toxins more when we experience stress. And that salad, if you can find it, will reduce the acidity and eliminate the stress-induced toxins, so our stress level will actually go down. So again, our diet should be rich in fruits and vegetables, whole grains, low-fat dairy products, all help our heart. Legumes, you know, beans and peas, low-fat sources of protein and certain types of fish can also reduce our risk of heart disease. Now, very few of us have not heard the fat controversy. We know that we should be limiting certain kinds of fat. We know that saturated fat and trans fat increase our risk of coronary artery disease by raising our cholesterol levels. The saturated fats would be beef, butter, cheese, milk, coconut, and palm oils are major sources. By taking the skin off chicken before you eat it, you can cook it with the skin on, but if you take the skin off before you eat it, did you know you could drop 4 grams of fat? I know, the skin tastes the best, but you can get used to it. The flavor will still be there, but you get rid of the 4 grams of fat. And if you choose a pack of lean bacon instead of the one that's fat-laden, you know, the one that looks more red instead of white, you could take in about 10 grams less fat with every 2 slices of that bacon that you cook. Now remember that each gram of fat is 9 calories. So if you save 10 grams of fat with those 2 slices of bacon, you've saved 90 calories. So again, small adjustments to our diet can save us tons of fat grams and calories. Do you know how many fat grams a day you should be eating? Well, it partly depends on our body type and also our age, the condition of our health, our activity level, because that's how we determine how many calories we should consume each day. But a general rule of thumb is we shouldn't eat more than 20 to 35% of our diet as fat. That's the average recommended amount for adults. Fat is just a percentage of our overall calorie consumption. And there is more and more evidence that trans fats, that fat formed when they hydrogenate, that chemical process that turns liquid into solid fat, it was a liquid fat, but they turned it into a solid fat, that's a trans fat. And it can be more harmful than even saturated fats. So I can't recommend enough, steer clear of products that say hydrogenated fat, partially hydrogenated fat, or trans fat. Trans fat is probably the worst, is worse than saturated fat, because trans fat raises our low density levels, the bad cholesterol, and lowers our high density cholesterol, the good cholesterol. Some sources of trans fat, Oh, deep-fried fast foods, bakery products, packaged snack foods, cakes, biscuits, pastries, margarines, and crackers. Make a practice of reading labels. Look for the term partially hydrogenated to avoid trans fat. Studies show that even eating small amounts of trans fat increases your risk of heart disease more than eating any other food. If you could replace just 2% of the trans fat you're eating with different fats, you can cut your risk in half. Now that we've talked about all the things we shouldn't eat, let me assure you that eating healthy isn't all about taking things out of your diet. Most of us don't eat enough fruits and vegetables. We should aim for that 5 to 10 servings of fruits and vegetables every single day. And trust me, if you eat them, you're not going to be as hungry for the other foods. Eating lots of fruits and vegetables not only helps prevent heart disease, but guess what? It helps prevent cancer too. Now, omega-3 fatty acids is a type of polyunsaturated fat that may actually decrease our risk of heart attacks. Omega-3 protects against irregular heartbeats and lowers blood pressure. Now, some fish are a natural source of omega-3, salmon being one. But pregnant women and women of childbearing age should avoid shark, swordfish, king mackerel, and tilefish because they contain levels of mercury so high that they pose a danger to a developing fetus. But for the rest of us, most professionals think that the health benefits of eating fish outweigh any risks associated with mercury. Personally, I use the omega-3 present in smaller amounts in flaxseed, beans, walnuts, soybean oil, olive oil, winter squash, canola oil, and they can also be found in supplements. And they don't pose a mercury problem. It is recommended by many nutritionists that we consume 4 grams of omega-3s a day. So 1/4 cup of flaxseed contains 7 grams of omega-3 fatty acids, while 1/4 cup of walnuts contains 2.3 grams. So in either case, the amount is pretty substantial. So if you were to combine 1/4 cup of walnuts with just a tablespoon of flax seeds, you would be close to the recommended 4 grams of omega-3 fats to your diet. 1 cup worth of soybeans, navy beans, or kidney beans provides between 200 and 1,000 milligrams of omega-3s. 1,000 milligrams, by the way, is 1 gram, just in case you don't know. A 4-ounce serving of tofu provides about almost 0.5 gram of omega-3s. To get the benefit of omega-3s, please don't fry olive oil or even fry your fish, because when you do, it damages the omega-3s and deprives you of their health benefits. So go get your omega-3s and protect your heart. Part of our healthy diet is that if you do drink alcohol, you only drink in moderation. 2 drinks a day for men, 1 a day for women. We do know that moderate levels of alcohol can protect your heart, but drinking more can actually damage your health. Okay, we know what to eat and what not to eat. Now let's look at our weight. The weight we put on as adults is usually fat rather than muscle. And that excess weight leads to conditions that increase our chance of heart disease. You know the drill. High blood pressure, high cholesterol, diabetes. One way to tell if your weight is healthy is by your body mass index, or your BMI. I know we've probably seen it just about everywhere. This takes your height and your weight and determines your percentage of body fat. There are gauges all over the internet that will figure your body mass index for you. Just enter your height and weight and voila. Now, if you have a body mass index of 25 or more, that raises your risk of such conditions as heart disease, and it's connected with higher blood fats, stroke, high blood pressure, sleep apnea, and type 2 diabetes. But BMI is just a gauge. It's not the end all, because muscle weight weighs more than fat, and very muscular and physically fit men and women can have high BMIs without added health risks. So let's add a different way that we could make an excuse that we aren't overweight. We need to pay attention to our waistline. How big is our waistline? It really is a good indicator of how much abdominal fat we have. So tall men are considered overweight if their waist measurement is greater than 40 inches. And women, well, we tend to be shorter, so we're overweight if our waist measurement is greater than 35 inches. But just like when we stop smoking, the benefits come pretty quickly. Even small losses help our overall health. Just think, studies have shown that losing just 10% of our weight can lower our blood pressure, lower our cholesterol levels, and reduce our risk of diabetes. Get regular checkups. High blood pressure and high cholesterol damage our heart and blood vessels. Know your blood pressure. A healthy blood pressure is less than 120 over 80. Know your cholesterol levels. Check it at least once every 5 years. If your numbers aren't where they should be or you have other risk factors for heart disease, check those levels more often. Some children may even have cholesterol problems if their family has a history of heart disease. There really is a lot we can do to prevent heart disease. We don't have to make it difficult. Just change a few habits. Again, as with everything else in life, the choice is ours. Do we want to live to eat, or do we want to eat to live? Not following healthy options is really just a way to commit suicide slowly. When you think about it that way, think maybe it's time for some changes? Give us a call at 1-888-815-9756. Now let's take a short commercial break.
O's Acupuncture is where modern technology is blended with Eastern-style wellness. O's approach is to combine the old with the latest scientific technology. He transforms various ancient texts, then uses Hippocrates' principles to combine the best of Eastern and Western healing techniques. O provides you with the latest of modern alternatives, along with the most traditional of Eastern healing techniques. It's time to start taking care of your mind, body, and spirit. Achieve balanced health. Outlive your friends. Defy time. Change your destiny. O's, located at 8 Immortal Center, 1188 Bishop Street, Suite 2409, in beautiful Honolulu, Hawaii. Call 548-7711 to schedule your evaluation. Make an appointment today. Call 548-7711.
Welcome back. For us to maintain holistic abundance in our lives, we need to care for every aspect of our body in a holistic way. That's how we develop the abundance life has to offer us. As we care for every single aspect of our body in a holistic way, we cultivate that special living light that we all have inside us. Our caring for our body in holistic ways opens us to embrace our spirit. Keeping holistically balanced permits our capabilities and focus to be well balanced in every area of our lives, and we flourish. So I guess the real question is, why then do we cheat ourselves of all these blessings? At this point in our series, we have firmly established that to live a holistically rich life, we need to take stock of all areas of our lives. We need to check to see what areas, parts, pockets, or corners, I don't care what you want to call them, that we need to pay attention to. What is draining our life energy? What's causing us to fall short of increasing the joy that should be in our lives every single day? When we lose balance, when we allow a part of ourselves to be hidden, we lose strength. Let me give you an example. As I said, I have warts, and this is one of them. Last week, my husband and I had a disagreement. What it was about doesn't matter. What does matter is that I had a moment of anger. We made an uneasy truce and dropped the matter, and I could have just let it be. But in my heart and spirit, I knew I had to clean it up, or there would be a tiny dark spot that would fester, just like a dirty sore. And if there's one thing I've learned, I don't like how those festering sore spots feel. So when we were alone later, I told him how truly sorry I was for growing angry and asked his forgiveness. And he did forgive me. I didn't try to justify my words. No, the only thing I needed to fix was what I had done, what I had said. And if I had made any excuse, it would have meant I was just trying to justify my flash of anger. And that little fester would have still been there. You see, when we're wrong, there is no justification. Those dark, festering spots are how we lose strength. This was a festering spot I had to clear up, because if I hadn't cleared it up immediately, I might have suffered it down and probably, I would have stuffed it down and probably forgotten all about it. But that dark corner still would have been there, kind of like we might ignore a corner of the room where we're not cleaning. But ignore it or not, the dirt remains until we clean it up. And if we don't clean it up, more dirt accumulates. Another argument easier to ignore because there's already dirt in the corner. What's a little more? Ignore it long enough and it'll explode. You know, like that infected sore. If not cared for. Problem is, it explodes when we least expect it. There would be some big blow-up, and I might not have put two and two together to realize that it all traced back to my burst of anger, my dark corner, and the mess that I could have, and fortunately was small enough, it could have turned into a real storm. So the point, when you say something unkind, hear yourself, catch yourself, and say sorry. But you really have to mean it, or it doesn't shift your heart. It doesn't clean that corner. And you're going to keep making the same toxic choice over and over. As I've healed from my abuse, I've reclaimed my right to not carry garbage around. And you can too. At first it feels really awkward. But the softness that replaces the hardness we've been lugging around when we were hurt, when we hurt someone, is worth every bit of the awkwardness of correcting our behavior. Plus it's so good for our physical body. Cleaning our garbage up releases stresses we didn't even realize we were carrying. Every time we stuff our garbage down, we lose strength. We become vulnerable to more negative thoughts, and our immune system will complain. Whether it's a minor cold or as serious as a heart attack, we will pay. Every time we stuff our garbage down, we lose a bit of our ability to cope emotionally or physically. And if we keep it up long enough, it's going to affect our ability to handle even small challenges. We must remember that our body is a delightful, multifaceted, interdependent system of energies. And every single cell in our body relates to and affects every other cell. So when we carry anger, we're affecting every cell. This delightful, multifaceted, independent system reflects the holistic nature of our body, mind, and spirit. What happens in one area, part, pocket, or corner affects every other area, part, pocket, or corner of our lives. Our physical health requires maintenance. Only to the degree we revitalize each and every one of our characteristics, areas, parts, pockets, of our body, mind, and spirit, do we achieve excellent health. Emotional balance, integrated with our physical health, supports our self-esteem, which is the foundation that assures us of a life filled with energy and accomplishments. With holistic balance flooding through our body, mind, and spirit, and a certain amount of financial comfort, we're free to create loving and supportive relationships. Making small but noteworthy changes in our emotional approach to life, in our belief in ourselves, in how we care for our body, with balanced diet and exercise, makes possible for us to create the holistic abundance we long for. Learning to maintain balance through good times and bad is a skill not only worth working toward, but is fundamental to our holistic progression. We have unlimited assets we can use to develop holistic balance and abundance. Only we can decide to become the highest expression of who we know we can be. Sometimes we take for granted that our minds and bodies are closely connected. We feel good. When we feel good physically, we're much more likely to feel good mentally and vice versa. Our bodies and minds respond to the way we care for them through proper nutrition, exercise, stress management, rest, and relaxation. We have the opportunity to treat our bodies with proper respect, enhance how they perform and look, and be happy with this amazing body we live in. We also have the opportunity to take good care of our minds by guarding our thought life, improving our outlook, changing negative patterns, and increasing our overall happiness. Taking care of our bodies is an important responsibility. What we eat, the amount of sleep we get, and how we manage stress all affect how well our bodies and minds function. We have one body for life. If we neglect or abuse it, we suffer the unpleasant consequences. With proper care, the quality of our lives improves because we feel better, we're healthier, and we look our best. Just imagine for a moment what life would be like if each individual on Earth were allowed to own just one automobile per lifetime. Do you think you might be more motivated to take better care of your automobile? Getting tune-ups regularly, oil changes, rotating tires, keeping it clean? You know the drill. Some of us might have a very different attitude about it altogether. We might take our responsibility to care for it more seriously, and we would most likely appreciate and cherish it much more. Fortunately, most of us are not limited to owning just one vehicle per lifetime, so we don't have to be overly concerned with proper maintenance and care. But how about our bodies? We can't trade them in for another model, and some parts can't be replaced. When something goes wrong, we do what we can to fix it. We own it for life, and it's up to us to take proper care of what we have. The truth is, however many people neglect proper nutrition and diet, they don't exercise consistently, and they don't make relaxation a priority, their bodies get run down, they become more susceptible to illness, they get tired and end up having to work harder to keep themselves going. I think most of us would agree that we could do a better job in taking care of ourselves. Oftentimes, we know what needs to be done. There's a lot we can do to be our best, to look our best, and to feel our best. When we take those steps to take care of ourselves physically, it also affects our mental and emotional well-being. Our body and mind works together. Our energy is increased as we make positive changes in improving our health. And our attitude and self-esteem is improved as we like the changes we see and feel. So what is it that keeps people from taking better care of their bodies? For one, it's hard work. Making it a disciplined lifestyle takes motivation and commitment, but it can be done if you take it one day at a time and one challenge at a time. Begin with short-term goals. Be realistic in your expectations. Small changes over time result in big changes in the long run. Be patient and learn to appreciate and celebrate small victories. Picture yourself the way you would want to be. If it's a possibility, then it's a matter of doing what needs to be done. Start by believing you can do it. Having faith that it can happen is essential. It keeps you going when you want to give up. Find an accountability partner. And if you don't know one, contact me. Having someone to whom you can report how you're doing keeps you motivated. This person can help keep you on track and remind you of the progress you're making when you don't see it. A partner who shares your goals will join you in achieving them and will join you in achieving them can be especially helpful. Establish a routine and be consistent. A new habit takes about 6 weeks to become part of your lifestyle. If you have a setback, don't give up. Get back on track as soon as possible. Begin again by resetting those goals, visualizing your success, believing in it, and taking action. Lifestyle changes don't happen overnight. Whether or not you begin today, 3 months from now will still come. You can be that much closer to your goals. You can be the best you can be if you make it a priority. How important is your body to you? Are you satisfied with how you're caring for it? How could your life be better if you were to make some changes? You have one body for a life. What you do with it now will have lasting effects. According to research, our mental health contributes more to our physical health than any other factors, such as diet and exercise. This in no way minimizes the importance of diet and exercise, but reminds us that our mental health is of vital importance to our overall health and happiness. Now I'd like to end with a story. An elderly carpenter was ready to retire. He told his employer of his plans to leave the house building business to live a more leisurely life with his wife and enjoy his extended family. He would miss the paycheck every week, but he wanted to retire and they could get by. The contractor was so sorry to see his good worker go and asked if he could build just one more house as a personal favor. The carpenter said yes, but over time it was easy to see that his heart was not in his work. He resorted to shoddy workmanship and used inferior materials. It was an unfortunate way to end a dedicated career. When the carpenter finished his work, his employer came to inspect the house. Then he handed the front door key to the carpenter and said, "This is your house, my gift to you." The carpenter was shocked. What a shame. If he had only known he was building his own house, he would have done it so differently. So it is with us. We build our lives a day at a time, often putting less than our best into the building. Then, with a shock, we realize we have to live in the house we've built. If we could do it over, we would do it so much differently. But we can't go back. We're the carpenter, and every day we hammer a nail, place a board, or erect a wall. Someone once said, "Life is a do-it-yourself project." Our attitude and the choices we make today help build the house we will live in tomorrow. Therefore, build wisely. See you next week when we will be looking at living holistically in a messy life, our spirit.
You have been listening to Fine Tune You with Helen. We hope you'll return next week to continue our discussion on living holistically in a messy life. As you go through this week, remember, you are not a human being going through a temporary spiritual experience. You are a spiritual being going through a temporary human experience.